It's going to be a great place to live on. Waiting on that great day to come, we have a life to live, being steadfast, doing what God requires of each one of us. On this evening, we are going to look at the topic, truth. Truth. There are many times where we may have to do an investigation to find out what truth is. And when we find the answer, that we would do the things that are right and pleasing in the sight of God, examining His Word. The Bible states in the book of John, chapter 17, verse 16 through 19. John 17, verses 16 through 19. They are not of the world, from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Truth is exactly what the Word says it is. Truth is doing the things that are according to the will of God and being blessed by doing so. Truth, as Brother Hurd read, will set you free. And if we do not believe that, we are believing the opposite, which is a lie. And the father of lies, the Bible tells us, is the devil. But when we consider what truth is, and there are those people that will state that you cannot know the truth. If we could not know the truth, why do we have this word? There have been many books written, not necessarily talking about religious books, but there have been many books written. For instance, you take those book of riddles, Humpty Dumpty set on a wall. Now, we would ask those questions when we were little. Mama, daddy, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, grandma, grandpa, did Humpty Dumpty really sit on a wall and fall? And did not the king's men, could they not put him back together again? Well, we believe that nonsense. But when we go and look in God's Word, sometimes we have the same idea that it is not true. God's Word is truth. And if we want to believe something, this is what we need to believe. And we would know that when our lives, when we fall, that we can be put back together. Again, John chapter 8 and the verse is 32. John 8 and the verse is 32. When a man tells you that you cannot know the truth, when a man tells you that as you read the truth and as you state the truth, that what you're reading or what you said is not truth, that man has a problem. John 8, 32, once again, he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, what will set you free? Is it the words of man? Is it the ideals of man? Is it the opinions of man? Is it what man thinks? No. It's the truth. This is what's going to set us free. This is what's going to deliver us from sin. This is what's going to allow us to enter into the great kingdom in the very end. The truth, because this is what we're going to be judged by. Are we willing to accept that? Are we willing to not settle for anything less, but settle for the best? Are we willing to do so? In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, again, you can know the truth. Do not let anyone tell you you can't. You know, in school, Brother Brian, you are a math major, correct? Okay, teacher. Can you help me understand better math by being a teacher? I have to put forth the effort, though, right? Same thing with God's Word. Well, we don't have any masters in here in reference to God's Word. But we have the opportunity to search the Scriptures, to know the Scriptures, and be able to help out the next man. We help them where we can. But knowing this, we have to understand what the Scripture says here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Believe and know the truth. How did these people get to know the truth? Somebody taught them. Somebody took time with them. And the sad thing is that many of them departed away from it. You know what's even sadder? That we have it right here, and it states that some of them will depart from it. And you know what we do? We depart as well. We leave the truth. After knowing that God had told that some will depart, after believing and knowing, we do the same thing. Why? Why? Is it because we don't want to go to heaven? Is it because that what we have learned has separated us away from those that we love? Those that we have called our friends, that this truth will separate us away from them? Is that the reason why men depart? Men depart because, again, they listen to liars. They listen to those men, to those women that do not tell complete truth. And they love what they hear. And that's what satisfies them. We have to know it as we look at this word. He says in verse 4, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For if made holy by the word of God, and for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." So when men say, "You can't eat that," we go to the Word of God and we say we can. Because this is truth. And this is what we need to continue to go by and what we need to continue to live by. And allow it to guide us in this life. In Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. We can, again, know the truth. We can know it. And as we know it, we need to live by it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, "Then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seemed influential, the gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run or nor run, not run in vain. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised. Though he was a Greek, yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, you slipped in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus so that they might bring us into slavery. To them, we did not yield in submission, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved in you. We should never, ever submit to false doctrine. Not for one second. Again, when we look at this and we think about it, he says, Titus, who was with him, was not forced to be circumcised. Why do men submit to something that has never, ever been for them? Why do we submit to things that has never been for us? Again, we have to know the truth. And the only way that we're going to know it is that we pick it up. You can close your Bibles and you can walk by them 50 times a day. None of that information in that Bible is going to jump out and enter into your minds. You have to open it up. You have to study it. And as you study it, you have to believe what you're reading and you have to apply it to your lives. This is what truth is all about. If you know something to be right or something to be true, why not do it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception. For those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So if you refuse to love the truth, if they refuse to love the truth, what did they love? They loved the lie. They loved the lie. So therefore, they were not saved. What saves us? It's God's word that saves us. Do we believe that there is a God? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is His Son? Do we believe that the Spirit descended upon Him like a dove after His baptism? Do we believe those things? Do we believe that the Spirit allowed men to write this word down so that we can know it and live by it? Do we believe that? This is, my friends, truth. This is truth. And we can know it. We don't have to tell people, let me go and ask somebody else. You know what we should be telling them? When someone asks us a question and we might not know the answer, let me go back and search that. And where are you going to search it? Search it right here. Right here. Well, you know what happens when I get a Bible question? You know where I go to get that answer? Right here. Right to this book that's called the Bible. And I appreciate people asking Bible questions to me because it makes me study just that much more. And each one of us need to do the same thing. Yes, we need help from time to time. And you know, this is the greatest place to get help from is the Word of God. We help one another by going through the Word of God and instructing one another, assisting one another, encouraging one another, that we all can know the truth. Remember again what we said this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about divisions, Paul's plea, Paul's prayer, that there be no divisions among you, that you all teach the same thing, that you be of the same mind, the same judgment. We can know the truth, and we can know the truth alike, because this is what's going to save us. It is not by the ways of the world, but it is by the ways of God, and that is what we need to accept. Truth is revealed. It has been revealed. And here's the thing that we need to understand about the truth being revealed. There's no new revelations. When a man tells you that he had a dream, that God came and spoke to him. See, I like to play with people. Y'all all know me by now. I like to play. And if you come and tell me that God told you something, here's what I'm going to ask you. What time did he tell you that? Because, you know, we like to stamp things with time. Well, he told me, came to me in the midnight hour. So what time is it? The midnight hour. Well, you know, he woke me up this morning. This is what he told me to tell you. So who trumps who? What I tell him should just deviate, what's the word I'm looking for? Get rid of what he thought of or what he said that God told him. Because he has come to me at a different time, at a later time or earlier time, however you want to look at it. But both of us would be lying. Because God has already revealed the truth unto us. There's no new revelation, so we need to accept what God's word says. What is written is what we need to be looking at. So in John chapter 16, and the verse is 13. John chapter 16, and the verse is 13. I'm going to start with verse 12. Because what Jesus is talking to his disciples about is very important. He says, I still have many, in verse 12 of John chapter 16, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, and he will speak on his own, and will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Now, I want you to look at that. Jesus says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You just can't take it in right now. But something's going to happen. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. They sat at Jesus' feet. Jesus told them, and here's what he wants to leave with them. The Spirit of truth is going to come, and he's going to tell you some other things. But you know, what he's going to speak to them is not going to be things on his own accord. They're going to be the things that the Father wants them to hear. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. In verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's great, isn't it? It's no new message. It's the same message. The Holy Spirit is not going to come and tell them that you have been going in the wrong direction. He's going to bring back to remembrance all that Jesus had taught them and going to tell them even more that the Father desires for them to do. And they're going to get something. Remember on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came with power and they were able to speak in tongues and men were able to hear in their own language the gospel message. So we need to understand that we have what God wants us to have. And we need to continue to live by it. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with the 6th verse. Truth is important. Yes, there have been some things that have been kept from men long ago, but yet now they have been revealed. There are no secrets. Everything that God wants us to know, we can know. Verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have crucified him if they fully understood. But know that the scriptures said that God would not allow them to see. That God would not allow them to fully understand. And they didn't. That is why they crucified Jesus Christ. Peter had to preach that message on the day of Pentecost so that they may get an understanding that they had done wrong and that they needed to have their sins washed away. Verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." For God what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him. So we have to believe that this word is true. In verse 10 it says, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths through those who are spiritual." The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, for he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So we need to understand, how are we going to understand the Word of God except by the Word of God? Let this Word interpret itself. No private interpretation is needed. So we can comprehend what God wants us to know. What has been revealed to us, we can see it in the Scriptures. You ever played that game, I have something behind my back, tell me which hand is in? See, I watch people sometimes when they play that game and the person they want to win, that person say the left hand, they switch it quickly to the left. But you know who saw what hand it was really in? God. God has, he knows what hand it has been in. And we sometimes, we try to trick people when we don't want to lose. We change hands and say, no, it's not. And sometimes we'll drop it and it's not in either hand. But the Word of God, it should never be dropped. We should never switch sides. We should never compromise the Word of God, but we should believe what we see. Let's be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. Let's do the things that are right before God, because once again, this Word has been revealed to us. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and the verses 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse is 3. Well, let's start with verse 1. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I have written briefly. When you read this, or when you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power to me, though I am the very least of all the saints. This grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Has been revealed. It was a mystery in times past, but now it has been made known to you. This mystery was given to me in order to reveal it to you, to let you know what God expects out of you. The gospel, to be obedient unto it, to have your sins washed away in the water of grave of baptism and stand firm in it. This is what it's all about. See, the only thing God has kept back from us is the things that he don't want us to know. Can y'all really understand that? Why did he not tell us? Because it's none of our business. So, he's God. He's God. Go and look at the questions that he asked Job. Where were you when I did this? Where were you when I did that? Here's the question that we need to be asking ourselves. Where are we going to be when Christ comes back? Do we understand the gospel? Do we understand what has been revealed by the Holy Spirit? Can we understand it? Yes, we can. We can understand it, and we need to live by it. This truth that we examine, it is not multiple ways. It's only one truth, and that is God's word. In John chapter 14, verse 6, John chapter 14, verse 6. You know, again, we talk about ways. A way to do this and a way to do that. You know, you ever heard someone say there's more than one way to skin a cat? But who would want to skin a cat, right? There's more than one way to skin a squirrel. And who would want to do that? I. Nothing like some good squirrel dumplings, I just want you to know. But here's the thing. Some will tell you, you don't skin it that way, you skin it this way. You skin it yours and I skin it mine. When it comes into the pot, let's see who's going to have the most meat. That's what it's all about. And so we look at it and we understand what the Word of God says. When somebody say, you keep worshiping the way you're worshiping, and I'm going to worship the way I'm worshiping, and let's see who's going to get to heaven. If neither one of us is worshiping according to God's way, neither one of us is going to get there. But here's what Jesus says. When some say you can be saved this way, you can be saved that way, we need to go to the scriptures. He says in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You ever heard that person say on the TV programs, that those televangelists, come to me, let me save you. What they're saying is, come to me and let both of us fall in this ditch. Because again, all they're looking for is to get rich. They're looking for you to send them this, what they call the seed. They want you to send it to them in order for them to prosper. What is Jesus asking of us? He's asking a lot. I just want you to know that right now. He's asking for our all. Want to define it, Brother Brian? What's all?
All means all, and that's all means.
All means all, and that's all means. And that's all that all means. He's asking for that. Why? In order for him to bless us. In order for him to give us a home in glory. He's asking for our all. Are we willing to give it up? If so, you will look at his way. You will look at what he says and you will do those things. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and the verses 4. Romans chapter 3 and the verses 4. It's a narrow way. It is not you take the high road and I take the low road. We need to take the same road. His word is this road that we need to take. This is the map. God has given us the plan. We need to follow it. Romans 3 and the verse is 4. By no means let God be true, though everyone were a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. Let's quit listening to man. and less focused on God's word. There are not many ways, but one way. When we look at this oneness there in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, your God. Who is your God? Your Lord. Who is your Lord? Your faith. What is your faith? Let's look at it and let's examine it. There can't be more than one. There has to be one, and it has to be the same one. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One. And just in case I lost count, one. There are seven ones there. Cannot add to those ones. You cannot multiply those ones. You cannot divide those ones. You cannot subtract from those ones. We need to look at it and understand that the one God that we serve has a Son that He sent, has the Spirit that descended upon Him, has this body that He has us to. And when we think about it all, when we think about what is there, being baptized and added to the body, doing what God wants us to do, that our faith must be steadfast. We must hold on, because that day is coming, and this way in which we should be traveling is going to be narrow. It has to be narrow. And we have to stay on the path. We have to stay on the path. We're going to skip Matthew chapter 7. We have to understand that we need to be consistent. Consistent in our teaching. And the teaching that we're using is God's word. This is the doctrine. You know, you hear people again say, oh, that's your doctrine. No, it's not our doctrine. It's the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the doctrine of the apostles. This is the doctrine that we need to teach. This is what we need to be staying with. Sound doctrine. Something that no one can find a hole in. No one can wake up and say, you know, I think I should write this down, and this is how we should worship. This is how we should serve God. No, you already have that instruction. It's already been given. So let's continue to do what God's word says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If Christ has not been raised, what are we talking about today? Without Christ being raised, there would be no Christians. Think about it. I heard that stated the other day, and it just took me back. Why do I have to go through these things? Why did Jesus have to die? He had to die in order that there be Christians. I was watching one of my old westerns and I heard that, and I was like, wow. They're talking about salvation right here on television. On these westerns, they're talking about these things. But you know, here's the point. That again, in verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If He had not been raised, you know where He would have been? When Martha and Mary went to that tomb, He would have been right there. Right there. But He wasn't. He was raised from the dead. Why? In order that you and I might live. That you and I might do what the Word of God says. That we may be steadfast, immovable, continuing in His word, continuing to abide in Him, that we may have both the Father and the Son. His word is doable. that statement that many people make when you ask them to do something. I can't do it. Have not put forth one single moment to try to do it. Haven't even given it a second thought. The first thing that comes out of your mind, I can't do it. I can't live a Christian life. Why? Well, I have too many other things I need to be doing. That's what it's really about. That you love the world more than you love God. You want to get into heaven, but you don't want to do what you need to do in order to get there. In the book of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So, you know what He said? You can practice the truth. You can do it. You can do it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you can do what God says? Yes. Because He would not ask us to do anything that He have not done Himself. He want us to sacrifice. He sacrificed. He want us to be holy. Why? Because He's holy. He want us to come to heaven. Why? Because that's where He is. You know, it's hard to ask someone to do something that you yourself would not do. I remember detailing cars way, way, way back in the day in my senior year of high school. We got this Chevelle in there, and the owner said, hey, I need this car washed. You know, the interior is really trash because somebody has blew their brains out in it, and I need it clean. We walked by that car, I would say, at least for a month. Every day we walked by that car, and we never opened the door. He finally said, don't worry about it. I'm going to call the owner and tell him to come get it. That's a good thing. He did not want to clean it, and we did not want to clean it. But you know, our God would never ask us to do anything that He has not already done. Do you believe that? Do you believe that His word is doable? In the book of Galatians chapter 5 and the verses 7. Galatians chapter 5 and the verses 7. It says, you were running well. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?
What do you mean? Was doing it? Have you ever looked at a child trying to help a child ride a bicycle, and there you are holding that bicycle, and they begin to pump, and as long as they know you got their hand on that bike, they're still pumping, but you let it go, and they're pumping, you holler, you're doing it, and they turn around and find out that you're not there, and they fall over.
That's us in this Christian walk. Many times we're doing what we're supposed to do until we look to the left and we look to the right and no one's there beside us and we give up. We can't do that. Who hindered you? You were running well. Who hindered you? Who came to you and told you you can't do that? Who came to you and told you you can't live a perfect life before God? Who did it? Who did it? I remember my dad asking me that one day when I was running home. He said, who's chasing you? He was ready to go get him. Who hindered you? You let us know who's hindering you from doing what is right. Let us go and talk to them. Let us go and rebuke them. Let us go that they may be chastened by using the word of God. Let's do what's right. You know what Paul did? Paul went back to the Jerusalem council on behalf of the Galatians. He wanted them to know that he was there ready to fight for them. Those Judaizers kept trying to get them to fall back and do something that was never for them. The word of God is doable, and they were doing it. And he said to them in Galatians chapter 1, I am astonished, I am amazed that you're so soon removed. Let's not let anybody move us from doing what is right. We can know the truth. The truth has been revealed. It's set in a way that we need to understand that we cannot allow it to be taken over or us pulled away from it. Why are you going down that way? There's not many people going down that path, but it's the right path. It's the way that I know. It's the only way that I know, and it is what I'm going to do. let's understand that we can do what God wants us to do. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, understand again that there is but one way. There's one way to become one of His children, and that is by being obedient unto the gospel. Coming and making that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being immersed in the watery grave of baptism, rising to do what we have been talking about today, reading and studying His Word, being the example to others, showing them that you can live a life that God is pleased with. We need to continue to do that. We need to continue to teach people the truth. If you're here and you're strayed away, we're asking you to come back. Come back and confess your faults unto God. If you got to go and get your life right with somebody, you go in and get it right with that person and get it right with God right after. That's what He expects us to do. That's what He wants us to do, and that's what we must do. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.